B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Reading a story in the Grand Forks Herald about Ralph Engelstad Arena.
Ralph.
In the Grand Forks, which is the arena on the campus of North Dakota. It's a nice place. It's a nice little arena here. Very nice. They actually played the World Juniors back in 2005 there. And North Dakota being a good program. It's had a lot of NHL players come through there, but it's for a small arena. It's a nice spot. Got a lot of technology in there.
Huh.
Has a really nice facility for players.
About?
Like in terms of in-arena stuff, that wouldn't matter for – there's no fans, but just
right,
the look of it.
Yeah.
You know, to have it – they've got this awesome jumbotron.
Boards and stuff, yeah.
You know, and just sort of – whatever, you still got to have the clock up there and stuff. So,
correct.
Yeah. You still can make it look good on TV. It will look good. It definitely looks like it would be a good TV presentation. Nice spot. Yeah, it's a very nice spot. And again, World Juniors were there, so it's definitely a building that looks good on TV. It could work.
Even to what I went and talked about there during that last little segment there before the break, you know, eventually you lose your mind in this thing as far as getting these guys. But initially, I think guys are like, okay, cool. We're all in this hotel together. We're bonding. I haven't seen these guys in a while. And I think the initial surge would be great. But eventually, I think that fun of doing something different would eventually wear off and become cumbersome and just, ugh, what are we doing this for? And that's where you lose your focus as an athlete. But I understand why they got to do this. They got to make decisions as hockey. Because they're getting close to breakpoint here.
So if it were Western Conference goes to North Dakota, Eastern Conference goes to Manchester, that has to, I guess that has to benefit the Bruins in some way. Like you're right there. You're not far.
Yeah, but so what? If you're sequestered and you can't go anywhere and you can't see anybody and you can't do anything.
They're not going to sequester. They're going to walk right out their hotel and go wherever do whatever they want.
Up, and you're going to stand outside and they can yell at you across the parking lot. Hi. The kids wanted to see you. Hi, guys.
You know, you think
this time, right?
If you think they're going to start suspending players for walking out of a hotel, I'm sorry. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Okay, but to do what? You say it's got to benefit the Bruins. How?
In the sense that they don't have a lot of travel. As an organization, to move their stuff, if they're moving their operation.
Oh, you're talking about trucking costs?
No, I'm talking about, like, you know, coaching staff, scouting staffs, equipment guys, like trying to bring all the creature comforts that Zoe's talking about.
Yeah,
right?
but once you're there... You're there, and I don't think they're supposed to.
Yeah, and if you forget anything, you get in the car, and you're 35 minutes away.
Or
like if you're from St. Louis, or you know, you're from Tampa Bay, that's a bit of a problem. Is my point? That's all. There's got to be some sort of side benefit for being right up the street from the Bruins.
Yeah,
in your backyard.
I agree with that. And
thank
if there's
you,
an emergency,
thank
you have a little, more peace of mind. You have peace of mind.
Peace of mind. That's right. Oh,
peace
something happens
mind.
With your family. Well,
yeah,
if you play for the Bruins,
oh, Jesus, now I gotta get on a plane.
Your family's right down the street. Like you
then
can get
the
in your car.
Doesn't want me to get on a plane.
Hardy, think
find
about
a
this.
Private plane.
If you're stressed about leaving your family, right, and you're stressed about, wow, we've got a pandemic going on. What happens if someone in my family gets sick? What happens if my wife gets sick? Anything like that? If you're playing, you know, here in Manchester, a Bruins player is going to be like, well, if anything happens, I can just hop in the car and I'm there. I'm right down the street.
Okay.
There's that peace of mind that would exist for the Bruins that wouldn't exist for other players. That wouldn't exist for, a guy who's playing in the playoffs that's 2,000 miles from home.
Yeah. Or that tease you more to break the rules, so to speak, and jump in your car and drive and go see your family. Like, we got morons out here in Rentham. We've done a pretty good job shutting things down. Like, we basically walk around in our neighborhood and we stay at a distance. But there's this conservation land less than a mile from my house out here, this Joe's Rock where everybody – and you should have seen the cars lined up.
Wait, I'm
just
sorry,
down the street from
Joe's
us.
Rock?
The Rentham police shut it down last night. They're like, we're done. We've had enough
Who's
of this.
Joe?
See, I don't know who Joe is. But I've been living out here for 30 years. Joe's Rock is right there. They have Birchwold Farms. It's all conservation land where you walk the dogs and you go out past. You can walk power lines for miles out here and go out in the woods and get lost. And there's just people. One nice day yesterday, 65 degrees, and all the morons come here and flock to it. And there's cars up and down the road. People just don't get it still. Like, this is the point of it all. Like, okay, you're making all these plans. Are you really going to stay there? Are
well,
you really
Joe's Rock is such a draw, man. I mean,
I hear someone typing.
Do you really
Beetle,
need
are you
to
doing
get
the
out
same
with your little bike uniform and ride your little cute bike with your tight pants and your stupid elf shoes and
what
your
am
helmet.
I doing, Hardy?
Are you also Googling Joe's Rock right now? I hear someone typing back there. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a video. A video top of Joe's Rock.
Here's a review on alltrails.com.
That's where
the
Rentham Bobcat was seen last.
From Jacob, who writes, short little romp with a good lookout. The climb down is actually a bit steep.
It is steep. You fall down. I fell on my ass a couple times coming down from there. That's where Mayo's dog got kidnapped and taken away.
Excuse me. Oh, that reminds me. I don't know. If...
Dog napping reminds Hardy of something.
Well, I had something weird happen on the dog walk this morning. Not to, you know, I would say not to derail us, but what the hell else are we going to do?
Right, exactly.
I'm out walking the dog this morning, and a guy does a real slow roll by, and I'm the only one out on the sidewalk. There's very little.
That's different.
Very little traffic, and the guy's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and he's given
classy.
He's given me and the dog like a real long look, real slow. He drives past us a couple hundred yards, goes into another little side street, turns around and drives back. Now at this point, I'm on full alert. The dog is.
He's scoping your neighborhood out right now.
Right, the dog is perfectly happy to stop, and she can just sniff for a second. He drives back. He's going the other way. He rolls down the driver's side window, and he says to me, "What kind of dog is that?"
And what did you say, you dummy? But do you know anything about dogs? I mean, it's pretty obvious what kind of dog Hardy has.
Well, I said it's a lab. He goes, "Oh, full-bred lab, huh?" I said, "Uh-huh." And I mean, my radar is up on this guy, and then he slow rolls away.
Did he take out a note card and cross it off?
Back the direction he was originally coming from, like he was literally out, like searching for, you know, a dog breed that he wasn't quite sure of. Had to ask that question, and then he went back to wherever he came. I came home. I told Marcy, and she is convinced now the guy wants to dog nap the dog.
Yep.
And
yeah, he probably does. You got his license plate?
No.
What the hell? You didn't get the guy's license plate?
No.
You got a suspicious individual that wants to steal your dog? Your thought is this guy's up to no good, and now
Hardy's
asking
Hardy's
strange
paranoid
questions.
About everything
and you didn't
right
think,
now.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to take a picture of your car.
This is great.
In case you come back, you moron.
What
are you kidding me?
Why would anyone want it like. Find out what type of dog it is first before you dog nap it. Second of all, anyone who has a dog these days, I think they're all chipped. So it's very difficult to dog
Mine's
nap a
chipped.
Dog. Your
we
dog isn't chipped?
No, we get stopped all the time because people think he's a Great Pyrenees, which he's not. You know, he's an overweight English lab. All right, English retriever.
Is that a
what
specific
kind of vehicle
breed?
Was he driving, Hardy?
It was a Honda sedan. I want to say probably Accord.
Car.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I'd say
probably stolen
2010. Yeah.
Right.
2008.
You're either 2010. Those people that drive that type are either looking for dogs or looking for little boys riding their bikes.
Wow, so that's a leap right there.
People at Case neighborhoods, man, and they drive by. We're kind of on the border close to something down here, and all of a sudden you'll see white vans slowly driving through. It makes you nervous.
White vans? We're doing what?
Just driving by real slow. Shouldn't be driving that slow.
The huge heroin trade going on in the woods behind Zoe's house. I mean, this is reportedly. You know, it's not a nice spot. Good area.
The episode of Narcos going on.
So you guys got nothing to worry about where you live.
The writers from Ozark are coming in to rent them for some new story ideas.
At least my dog ain't going to get taken out of my yard, pal.
It's because he weighs like 300 pounds now.
He's got people flying through his neighborhood. Fool's like so, doing 90.
You would need a forklift to dog nap your dog, though.
Beal's got the direct line to the cops in his town. Give me a break.
Of course people. I do. That's why I can't believe Hardy didn't take the license plate down. Open an investigation.
But seriously, out of all
what
the,
this guy's deal is.
Out of all the things that you could be worried about on any given day,
right.
And especially like these days, is dog napping chief among your worries?
Easy, Mr. Like, paranoia.
It wasn't even like a consideration, but that this guy totally had my radar up because of
you
how slow.
You had your radar up before the strange question started.
Yes, yes. And that just made it stranger. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I'd you be filing an unofficial police report right
you
now.
You know what? And this is the type like, of...
Whoa. Hold on. How does one file an unofficial police report?
You just know people with the police and you say, we had a weird thing happen right here. Here's a little tip.
I'm going to call my guy. I'm going to text my guy right now then.
Yeah.
Your dog's out of the puppy stage, so they don't want to get puppies because they don't want them gnawing on stuff and all that. They want them, like, housebroken, but they don't want the old dog. Your dog's right in that groove area where, okay, these are coveted type animals.
By who?
You got to get in with the cops, I'm telling you. See, we get reports of gunshots out here by us.
I am a cop.
They do.
Look at this.
What the hell's going on in Rentham? We got gunshots.
No.
We got crazy women out.
Crazy old ladies out here.
We're on the border.
The report gunshots when I shoot fireworks off. And they're like, are you shooting fireworks off again? I'm like, yeah, okay. We got reports of gunshots up there by us. I'm like, no, I'm shooting fireworks off. They're like, all right, just don't shoot them anymore. So it's good enough.
Who knew that Zoe moved to Juarez over the weekend?
What else? I mean, he's a cop. Hardy is already a cop.
617-779-0985. Oh, we're having a little fun. We'll get back to your calls. Baseball and hockey trying hard to come back. I got to go check on the dog.
Hold on.
We got calls on stealing dogs and someone who's got an issue with Hardy. We got Manchester stuff. We got all of it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Reading a story in the Grand Forks Herald about Ralph Engelstad Arena.
Ralph.
In Grand Forks, which is the arena on the campus of North Dakota. It's a nice place. It's a nice little arena here. Very nice. They actually played the World Juniors back in 2005 there. And North
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't know where I'm going, but I sure.
Let's get right back to your call, 617-779-0985. 0985. Phil's in Denham. He's got an item for us today on stealing dogs. Hi, Phil.
Nice.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You got your dog here, Hardy. Nice.
Stealing dogs is a real thing. People steal the larger dogs and throw them in cages with pit bulls to train them to fight. Happened in my town about 10 years ago. There was a warning put out about that. So
Hardy's dog's not a fighter, though. It's not a fighter.
Yeah, but it's not about your dog. It's about the pit bull that they're trying to train.
Oh.
So they would take just like any breed of dog as long as it's the right size to use it as like a sparring partner?
Yeah, bigger ones. German Shepherds, you know. Would you say yours was again?
It's a lab, but she's lab. Small. She's one of them, I don't know. What are you? She's kind of a runt.
Yellow lab. She's small. Yeah. She's not fully grown yet.
She's about 50 pounds, but she's 14 months.
Is it one of those hairless ones?
Yeah, it's a hairless lab.
She got very thin hair. You feed that thing?
Yes. She gets a lot of exercise.
Labs are short-haired dogs, though.
Yeah.
Is that Park Greyhound?
Yeah, no. She's Park Greyhound.
Where's your dog, Zoe? Your dog's not fighting anybody.
He's sun patching it downstairs. He moves with the sun patches. Remember that sun is?
Yeah, sun.
He gets up, and he gets pissed. He's got to move, and he gets back in that one. Then all of a sudden, the sun moves another after about 20 minutes.
So Patches over there is not fighting anybody. You put Patches in the back of the truck, again, as Hardy said, with a forklift. Patches ain't fighting anybody.
Thanks, Phil, my dog.
You're going to be like, what? Ah, fine. Go ahead. Eat me. Let's go to Aaron in the car. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Beetle. I just want to weigh in on this dog issue and just let Hardy know that this thing is that these things actually are pretty real. I walk my dogs every day, and during this coronavirus lockdown, I've had people stop me almost daily asking me what kind of dogs I have, and a couple of them are pretty shady characters. You know, people out of the hood. For lack of a better description.
These people are looking for reasons to get out and just talk. And it's like conversation starter. Hey,
okay,
what
dog is that? So the first theory was that somebody is looking for a dog to use as a sparring partner for a pit bull. Why do you think these shady characters are asking you about your dogs?
No, I shut him down because he had his window open. I'm sorry, Hardy.
Well, then now we'll never know.
Yeah. Well, do you know what I think it is? Well, probably a far more likely scenario than using it as a sparring partner for pit bulls. I would say a far more likely scenario is stealing valuable dogs, purebred dogs that they can bring elsewhere, maybe to a different state, and then resell.
Or rebreed them like they're hung like a horse. You know?
I would think puppies would be more valuable than stealing full-grown dogs. Like, who wants to buy a full-grown...
Happens, dude. Happens. People just want a regular dog. Like, they don't want to deal with the puppy stage.
A full-grown dog, like, on the underground on the black market.
How many babies get stolen? Like, think about it. Nobody steals babies. Like, you'll steal young kids because they're out of, you know, hey, they're mobile. They're out of the drunken, the drunken small person stage.
A nonprofit organization, Last Chance for Animals, based in Los Angeles, estimates that 2 million pets are stolen every year in North America.
Jesus, Hardy, this is happening.
PetLinx, which is a companion animal registry, estimates that 1 million animals go missing or are stolen in Canada each year.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Think about it. We were walking a dog yesterday, and this guy's coming up the street, but he's on the other side of the road. But he has this staff that he's a tree limb fashioned.
Well, which side of the border was he on?
He was on the other side. What do you mean, other side of the border?
You said, you mentioned earlier you're down there on the border, so.
Yeah, but no, we're renting people. Like, and he's talking, like, hey, what kind
of dogs? Why don't you guys build a wall?
We just keep walking. And I'm like, I don't want to stand here and talk about, like, what kind of dog it is, what it's doing. Yeah. Like, look how nice Hardy's dog looks. Like, that's a stealable dog.
A stealable dog.
That's a target dog.
But he didn't.
Joe,
he didn't follow me home or anything. I mean, he's just out walking the dog.
He knows your general vicinity now.
Hardy, why didn't you?
Did you have your flashlight with you, Hardy?
No,
your flashlight. You should have blinded him with that.
What do you have?
Hit him
Civic?
With the beam.
Honda Civic. He'll be back in 2 days. He knows your walking pattern. He'll see you out there at 9:05 walking that damn thing. There he is again. That guy with the hat.
Let's go to Joe in New Hampshire. Joe.
Hey guys, what's up? Hey. I just wanted to say, so like, what the reason why these scumbags, the reason why they like go and nab these like beautiful purebred dogs is they actually want to stud them, and they don't sell the actual dog; they actually sell the sperm. So they'll go out.
Hardy's dog is a female.
One of those dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe she's a sow, so maybe they're going to use her.
Your dog have babies, Hardy? Or do you get it fixed?
Dog's been fixed, so that wouldn't be the reason why.
Is sow the right word for?
I don't know. I was going to let that part go. Dennis in Rhode Island. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, I guess everybody's a dog stealing expert now. Here's my problem. Yeah. Hardy, I'm calling him his bluff out. I don't think his radar was fully up. How do you not get the license plate? Hardy, I think you were pleasantly surprised that somebody asked you what type of dog that was.
No, it was. There was nothing pleasant about it.
Oh well, how do you not get the plate? Like, how many
Here's
movies
the thing,
do
too.
You have to watch?
Did not react appropriately. Hey, I can tell you that. I'm with you.
Hardy may have taken this whole thing wrong. Say in 2 days that Honda comes back. Hardy sees the Honda. Next thing he sees is this white cloth covering his face, and he says, "Breathe into the napkin." And next thing you know, Hardy's gone, and the dog's left there, and this guy's just casing Hardy.
Yeah, maybe he's after me, and he was using my dog as a means to start a conversation.
Oh, great. Now,
and maybe he's
now
looking at your size, nice 36-inch, 36 waist, 34 pants. You know what?
Maybe he wanted to kidnap Hardy.
In my basement. Yeah.
You know, people talk about getting license plates like that's a normal thing. Like, how many plates have you taken down in your life, Zoe?
Yeah.
How many times have you gotten a license plate of a car?
I mean,
I remember the car. I can tell you the make. I can tell you the model. I can give you a good description of the guy driving it. I mean, what do you want?
Is that guy in a cruiser?
Yeah, he's gone now.
Oh. I've taken a plate once because I got my car tapped, and the guy kept going.
Your car tapped?
Yeah, from behind.
Oh.
Like bumped in traffic. And then the guy moves out and starts moving and trying to weave on them. Get back here. He ain't going anywhere.
We're going to have to keep an eye on this thing. I don't know.
Let's go to Jeremy in New Hampshire who had a thought on hockey being played in Manchester. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Good.
How
are you?
Long-time listener. Love your show. Thanks for keeping us all sane during this crisis. Just on the dog real quick. I can imagine getting caught stealing a dog. I'd be like, hey, why are you in? I stole the poodle. But I was calling on the Manchester facility.
That's
the Monarchs. Yeah, the Monarchs just won the Calder Cup the last year they were there. They did a lot of work to the facility. It's really nice. Across the street is almost done. I think it's a 100-plus bed hotel. I don't even think you have to leave the hotel to get to the hockey arena. There's like 4 or 5 different restaurants. I think it'd be great for Manchester.
Yeah, but if they have 8 teams, they're going to need more than just that hotel.
In the county farm for stealing a dog.
Okay. Jeremy, if they have 8 teams there, if they have all the Eastern Conference playoff teams there, you're going to need more than that one hotel. You're going to need... Going to need a few places for everybody to stay. But that helps. That certainly helps that there's a new hotel there for whoever from the league is going to be there. Maybe the league sets up office in that particular hotel. But, Manchester. Someone keeps emailing saying Manchester doesn't want it or Manchester doesn't have any interest in it or something. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't know what they've said officially today.
I guess Buffalo's at play, too, supposedly.
Yeah, Buffalo would seem like a good spot.
You say college towns and that, like Buffalo would do, yeah.
Michael's
got a lot of empty buildings. Got a lot of empty buildings in Buffalo that you can fumigate to because like, it's not very busy.
Michael in Florida, go ahead.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey.
So I called originally to talk to Hardy about gambling and baseball. Baseball is actually the easiest sport to make money on if you have time because it's all streaks and trends.
Okay.
So if you have time to study, you can make a ton of dough in baseball. But also, the biggest problem these sports teams are going to have, mainly baseball, but also hockey and to a limited degree basketball, all the baseball players from, you know, all these Spanish-speaking countries, they all went home. How the hell are you going to get all these guys back to the U.S.? There's no planes coming in.
That's an interesting point. Where are all their players right now? It's a good question.
They all went home. So you have all these players, as an example, the Dominican. How many flights do you think they're coming in from the Dominican right now? Well, the answer is zero.
MLB could charter a flight, though, and get approval for it.
From how many countries?
It's Bogarts and Aruba.
There are obstacles. There's no doubt about that. Did he go home? Do we know that?
I don't know that, but they were told to go back to their families, right?
Yeah, I don't think he went home.
Yankees were one of the last teams to stick around.
I had heard that he did not go back to Aruba when this all happened.
Probably didn't. They probably advised them to stay as close as you can, but have your families with you, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the Dominican for sure. There's a lot of Dominican players.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the list of current countries. I'm sure there are Venezuelan players that you'd have to account for. You'd have to charter some flights, and you'd have to get approval on both ends to do it.
Whew.
I mean, Major League Baseball's got the political connection to do it. Hell, all the commissioners were on the conference call with the president the other day. So I think it would be work for sure. But I think there's a way to do it.
This is from a couple of years ago. Dominican Republic had the most foreign-born major league players with 84. Venezuela had 74. Cuba had 17. Mexico, 11.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about Cuba. I don't think these guys went back to Cuba.
Japan, 8. Canada, South Korea had 6 each. Colombia, Curacao, 5 each. And then handful from Australia, Brazil, Nicaragua, Panama. That was in 2018. 27% of Major League Baseball players were foreign-born.
Yeah, I just looked up the one for 19, the year after that, which was similar numbers, very similar numbers. So
yeah,
no, that's definitely something logistically they're going to need to figure out for themselves, figure out where people went.
But think about the ramp-up time that Major League Baseball talked about, too. They would need a month. Once they got the go-ahead, like, we're going to start playing ball again. Okay, you got to give us 30 days. You got to give us 30 days to get the pitchers back to where they need to be so that we can have a rotation, so that all our position players are ready to go, which is why I think a May start date in a totally new town with getting 30 teams there, getting them places to stay, facilities to play, and a schedule of games and how they're going to be played. You want to do that starting a month and a half from now?
Yeah.
I don't want to say there's no way, but there's very little chance of that happening. New location, new facilities, all the teams on board, plus giving them a month ramp-up time to get ready to play.
So what
Sounds
would
like
you,
a plan.
What would you put the date at then? What would you put the date at?
June.
I would say they could start it in June.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. The story from Jeff Passan does say that as well, that June is a far more realistic thought about when this could get underway. 617-779-0985. The NFL draft is still on track to take place in just, a couple of weeks now. And there's some new information about how it will go down and what won't be allowed. An internal memo from Roger Goodell yesterday. We'll tell you about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll get to this memo on Roger Goodell in just a moment. I was just looking up at the screen. Man, does our studio look clean right now?
Yeah, Fred's not in here.
Can we show that shot again?
Oh, yeah, Fred.
NBC Sports Boston. Looks like someone was in there cleaning. It looks nice. Look at that.
There's still empty water bottles.
A couple of water bottles there, but in general.
That has
look at the floors, Hardy. The floors.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
It's only Jim Murray and Christian Arcand as of now going in studio.
When's Murray start to lose his mind is the real question in all of this. At some point, Murray's going to snap.
Is he going in out of necessity or spite?
I'm spite right now.
Good question. I have no idea.
That's what I'm wondering.
Like, if you have money on anybody in the building, as far as all the shows, top to bottom, first one to snap, my money's on him.
Murray?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't see him as that type of guy.
He's a foodie. He likes to get out. You know, he needs his Wi-Fi joints. You know, he said that Coolidge Corner kid. Artsy fartsy crap.
Yep. I believe that's his Twitter handle, at Coolidge Corner Kid.
Okay.
Say goodbye to the war room, folks. There's no war room this year in any NFL facility. Roger Goodell sent out a memo yesterday, an internal memo that says league facilities will remain closed. That's right. The stadiums will not open, and that means everybody involved in drafting for each team needs to be at home. That means Bill Belichick needs to be sitting there in his living room on a laptop like everybody else in the world.
Here's my
question.
With
his scouts and his other coaches and ownership, they all have to do it virtually.
Here's my question. If Bill's got his nice little manse there, you know, where he lives, I'm not going to name the town, but say he's got a nice big room, conference-type room in his house. Is Nick Caserio allowed to be 6 feet from him in his house? Is Monty Austin Ford allowed to be 6 feet the other way?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
Interesting
question.
Or does
Nick need to be at his house? How are they going to monitor this? How are they going to make sure that war rooms are not assembling? Because really in the war room, it's Bill, it's Nick, it's Ernie, it's Austin Ford, it's maybe another scout, and it's Jonathan or Robert. That's about it. And you got TV crew in there.
No. No TV crews.
Can Bill have Nick?
There's no TV crews.
I know, but I'm saying in a normal war room, in a normal room structure, it's 6 to 8 people all huddled around a table. You got the big board up right behind you with your pro player guy there. He's taking guys, crossing guys off. Can Bill just have Nick Caserio 6 feet from him? And if that answers yes, then the Patriots have a huge advantage.
It says here in the memo, it says, we want all NFL personnel to comply with government directives and to model safe and appropriate health practices. Our staff will carry out its responsibilities in the same way, operating in separate locations outside of our offices.
Okay, so that's telling you that they will be separate then.
I mean, it doesn't say explicitly that you can't go to someone else's house.
You better be pretty specific if you're dealing with the Patriots here. Hey, we're in a separate facility. We're not there, but you said separate facility. This is separate.
Yeah, I don't know how they stop, you know, one or two guys from getting together and being around a kitchen table somewhere.
I would think your personnel guy would be allowed to be with that coach.
Well, in you know, the story that's been referenced is what the Saints had planned. So that story about the brewery that you mentioned yesterday, Zoe.
Yeah.
I went and looked that up because I couldn't believe that they were actually going to have an invite out to have people there. That's not what that was. What they were going to use the brewery for was office space. So Mickey Loomis owns it. I get or not Mickey Loomis. Mickey Loomis is the GM. What's the owner's? What's the family there?
The old guy. He passed away.
Well, yeah, I know. Now the rest of the family. Why can't I remember this?
Come on, Jim. Mr.
Benson's.
Sponge, sports sponge.
It's the Benson's. Yeah. It's the Benson family.
Good job.
The Bensons own this brewery, and they said, well, let's set it up so that we can get all our people in there and no one will be able to be, you know, we'll make sure everyone's distance more than 6 feet. We'll have everybody spread out within this large open room. We own the place and we'll meet all social distancing guidelines. And they set up this great, like, video conferencing setup there. They had all kinds of technology brought in. They had plans to be taking temperatures of anyone that was coming into the facility, even though they were still going to distance. That now is out. They're not going to be allowed to do it. So they're shutting that part down.
Huh.
So I'm guessing they would frown upon everyone meeting up at someone's house too, right?
Everyone or one? See, that's my question. I think, I don't know, like you got 2 weeks till the draft. Can Nick self-quarantine for 14 days at his own house? Bill it is. Say, we're going to see in 14 days at this location at my house, and we're good to go. I mean, I'm sure they're able to do stuff like we're doing, you know, get on virtual hookups or Zoom or whatever the hell, Google Meet or whatever you choose your platform to be, to where you can get there and talk with all your people.
Right.
But there's got to be some back and
forth. I just
want to
know, when they set up their Zoom there, like, who gets hacked first?
You know, I mean, Beetle, you got 15 minutes to make that pick. We need a back and forth here. Who's operating phones? Who's instructed to call teams? You got trades happening. This is unprecedented, man. It's going to be interesting to watch and see how it's done.
I just wish Jim Louth had won the lottery earlier this year.
Right. He could and have he, cured people and, of corona and been in a war room.
And he would have used his money, would have made a charitable donation to some Patriots cause and gained access to the war room.
Oh, there goes the
Only to have his war room access shut down on the 1 year he was going to be allowed in. That would have been that just would have been delicious.
Jim would donate it to the
John Hanna
fan
in.
Club.
The quarterback year you want in.
War room.
You call this the quarterback year, Jim?
Yeah, they need a quarterback, though, don't they?
Oh, you mean for the Patriots.
They've had the same starting quarterback for 19 seasons.
Jim,
I don't know if you guys saw.
Now. I'll come down and I'll slap you in the head.
So John Harbaugh, coach of the Ravens, he was on a conference call through Zoom. I think it was yesterday that they had the conference call.
This is a good concern.
His concern is security of whatever systems it is that they are using, because he's been reading in the newspaper about Zoom and people, you know, going into open rooms. You saw, like, you know, classes that were being taught, and all of a sudden some guy walks through with no pants on. So Harbaugh's worried about, like, a hog showing up on the screen or something, or someone, like, stealing his pick. I don't know what
he's worried about a team having the ability to have a pretty damn good IT guy that's a little wacky that can,
well, let me tell you,
that can get into your porthole.
If there's a team exploit the porthole, it would be the New England Patriots. Whatever
sure
that loophole
good IT
is,
people in there.
They've got their people working round the clock right now to exploit whatever that is to end up with more picks on this thing.
You don't think they can do that? What they pulled off last week in a matter of, what, 70 hours or so? The amount of things and loopholes they had to jump through to get a plane to China, to get that sucker gassed up, to get it cleared, to have the consulate open. Oh, to find an 18-wheeler, let's get that sucker shrink-wrapped because we're taking that baby down to New York. Oh, the planning that came together for that thing. You mean to tell me that they can't get into your hacker system? You're damn right they could.
They will take their cameras to opposing teams' press boxes, and they will hack your camera in your living room. They love cameras, man. They're a big fan of cameras. Wow. This is their draft. This is their time. This is their time to shine. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. Also, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Chris Sale had a conference call today.
Jim said we got a sell segment in us here. I live for these moments.
He spoke today and had a number of different things to say. I heard there were
he did.
Maybe some technical issues on that call. We'll get to all that coming up as well. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Zo.
Hey.
Ooh. Ooh, give me one, give me two, four, five. Ooh, hoo-ah, hoo-ah.
What song's the hi-ya song? Hwa. What's that, Hardy?
The what?
The hwa. Is that a Queen song? Not Pressure. What the hell is
another
Queen
one bites the dust?
Oh, yes. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, good call, take it. Ah, I got there.
For you all. Oh, take it.
Got the dust. Got the dust there.
You started this. I try to tell you, stay away.
I just miss you. I just miss your musk, you know?
And I miss your smell.
I just know what you were doing right then and there, hearing that song.
Okay.
All right.
When are we doing the cell audio? 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
Oh,
5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
Why do you hate Chris Sale?
I don't. I haven't heard it. Yeah. Jim Mudd said there's a conference call we need to get to with Sale. And I said to him, be like, well, have you ever been blindfolded and dragged into a dark room and kicked in the nuts? It's kind of what
Zoe's trying
like
to replace
right
David
now.
Price with Chris Sale is what he's trying to do.
No, I'm not. No,
yeah,
David
you
Price
are.
Is not.
You are.
No. David Price has always been condescending. This is over-accountable. There's never been an over-accountability of a guy more so than Beckett was accountable, but it was sort of badass accountable. You know what I mean? Like, okay, he's a gunslinger, man. Yeah. Six-shooter. Sell's got the, woe is me.
So you're not going to get that here. There's some substance to this.
Okay,
right,
good.
It's good.
Excellent. Oh, Jim said it's good.
Yeah. Joe in Rockland with a football call today. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
The question. What do you guys think about how Brady will do next year with no OTAs? I know he's usually used to throwing in the guys in Montana, and then possibly might be a delayed or no training camp at all.
I think he'd be fine considering they're 6'3", 6'5", on the outside and have massive production.
I'll tell you what, Joe. By the way, everybody's in the same boat, so it's not just this team or his team that would deal with it. But would you rather have N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, Julian Edelman, or the group that he's got in Tampa with no OTAs or shortened training camp?
No, I get that. I guess, you know, he's used to reading body language, and I guess one, you know, he had a rapport with Edelman. But, yeah, he had no tight end, you know, with Gronk being gone. You know, he likes body language and, you know, guys, you know, cutting the route short if they need to or getting to the open spot. So that's something he's going to have to build with these guys. I know
sure.
He had a
you know, real quick here, wrong. Real quick here, too. We're going to talk about his perimeter guys. And you watch more and more of the Brady tape and how they kind of shrink this together where they got Brady back in the pocket. He's in a Patriots uniform. Throws to these guys. I can't tell you how many times I've seen them go up, elevate, twist, and catch the ball, getting away from people to use their body. They go up and fight for the football. But that's what happens when we have a 6'5 guy whose whole game is predicated on go catch it at its highest point. I'm talking about Evans. Evans is the big one. He's going to be able to, and we talked about this at the beginning with Gronkowski, catch radius, stuff off the shoestrings, stuff 3 feet above the head. That whole 3-foot circle around Gronk's body, Brady felt safe to throw it around there because he knew Rob would go for it or fight for it or knock it down. I don't think he had that the last year. He's got it with Edelman, but Edelman was functioning on one arm a lot of last year. These guys will fight for the ball. You don't see Dorsett elevating and fighting for the ball. We really didn't see it with Sanu, which kind of concerned me because I think that I thought that was the sort of Anquan Boldin.
He got hurt.
That guy was going. I know, and I don't.
He got
hurt. And they never tell you how hurt he is, Beetle, which hurts the player.
Greg's in Somerville. Hey, Greg.
Hey, boys. How's it going today?
Hey.
Good. So, listen, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Celtics. You know, like, where do you guys see, you know, the NBA going off, like, after this whole coronavirus thing? And, you know, do you even think that there's even a season going on?
I think they're trending in the wrong direction. I think
you've
got reports that indicate baseball is very eager to put something together. The NHL is probably going to, in desperation, try and figure something out. I'm not convinced the NHL comes back, but I think the NBA is going to shut it down. I think they are.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how you mentioned that because I've been noticing that, like, the MLS and the NBA have been super, like, quiet about it since, like, all this started a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, the NBA took the initial bad, you know, PR on this because of
right.
the players. They were the first league to have players test positive and you know, presumably have to go into lockdown and then worry about other players that may have been infected. And it, let's face it, you know, that was a big point of the conversation from early on. It's like, why are their players getting tested? Why are NBA players getting tested before people in the general public and other healthcare workers and people who are deemed to be, you know, essential to the way society runs? And they weren't able to get tests, but the NBA players were. So I think from a PR standpoint, the NBA is probably more sensitive to how it's going to look and how it's going to play out more so than the other leagues right now. For baseball, they really haven't had to contend with anything on a health level. They just want to get their season going. You know, they're supposed to be playing right now. They just want to start. Hockey has had a few infections, but again, it wasn't, you know, they didn't have the misfortune of being the first league to have to deal with it on a player basis and an infectious basis, and that's what the NBA has on top of all the other logistical nightmares that come with trying to restart your season.
Yeah, I think all that is true. We'll get to headlines here with Hardy. We've got Chris Sale audio from his conference call coming up. It just happened last hour. We rolled on it, and we'll bring some of the best of to you right after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.617-779-0985 the telephone number. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Chris Sale did a conference call last hour. Thank you to both Jim and T-Bone for turning this around so quickly.
First job, boys.
There's some audio of it on various topics, some specific to him, some others about baseball. Why don't we start with what we've talked about in baseball playing without fans? And what he thinks is someone who played in that game that was in Baltimore, the Baltimore game that was played with no fans.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.617-779-0985 the telephone number. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Chris Sale did a conference call last hour. Thank you to both Jim and T-Bone for turning this around so quickly.
First job, boys.
There's some audio of it on various topics, some specific to him, some others about baseball. Why don't we start with what we've talked about in baseball playing without fans? And what he thinks is someone who played in that game that was in Baltimore, the Baltimore game that was played with no fans. I forget exactly the date on that. He was with the White Sox at the time. This was going back to 2015 was when that happened. There was unrest throughout the city. That was after the Freddie Gray incident in Baltimore. And so with protests going on in the streets of Baltimore. They decided to close the gates of the stadium and play without fans. And Chris Sale was there as a member of the Chicago White Sox at the time, and he has a sort of a different, or I should say unique perspective as a guy who's played in a major league game with no fans. And he talked about it today.
You were with the White Sox when they played that game in 2015 in April, I think it was, after the Freddie Gray death. And there were no fans in the stands. What would it be like if Major League Baseball resumes with no fans in the stands?
Yeah, it was definitely different. The game was way faster, I can tell you that. But it was a weird feeling having nobody in the stands. But, you know, hey, sometimes you got to adapt. Sometimes you got to do some things for the greater good of what's going on around you. You know, is it ideal? I would say no. But at the same time, you have to be sensitive to your surroundings and what's going on. You know, if that's what it takes, you know, we got to do it, because I think, you know, sports by no means is on an important level for what's going on right now. You know, we're in a pandemic across, you know, this is worldwide.
Oh, this guy.
That's a really good answer, though. I mean,
we've got to do it for the greater good. He's not going to be there. He's not going to play.
He needs these guys to get paid, though.
He needs these guys to play so that he can collect $30 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to step right up, do what I need to do for the greater good.
Here's my question.
You're not going to be doing anything. You're done. This is nonsense, though.
Here's my question. Why'd the game move faster without fans?
It's great. I don't know. But
what are you looking around in the stands in between pitches?
I'm guessing
Hustle your ass out a little more to get out of there quicker? Why should it take longer with fans there? I don't understand that one.
It shouldn't, but I'm guessing it's because of whatever
stuff was going on.
There's no distractions. There's nothing slowing you down.
They're not taking 2 minutes to stroll to the plate with your song playing, with your strut and your slow walk.
Maybe we should eliminate that. Right. Maybe we should eliminate that.
Yeah, how about we put in a pitch clock? So one of the things we didn't discuss earlier was Rob Manfred in baseball, as part of this report from Jeff Passan, would be implementing an electronic strike zone right away. Got to keep the catcher and umpire distanced. Can't do that if he's behind the plate calling balls and strikes. And so they would implement electronic strike zone immediately. That would be baseball doing something positive in terms of, changing the game and changing the way it's played. It would be under the guise of social distancing, but it would be helpful, I think, for future years if they try it and it works well. Also, in that proposal that Jeff Passan reported about, doubleheaders with seven-inning games. How do you feel about that, seven-inning games?
I like that.
See, I love seven-inning games, six. And I know this is the one that people will – automatically dismiss and say, no, you can't do that. You can't shorten the length. Why not? That automatically solves the problem about the length of games. If you're going to do double headers, you can actually make them manageable. You know, talking about doing like actual double headers, not the day night with the hours down in between, but, you know, even with those, if you've got a 1 o'clock start and you do it in a 7 o'clock start, you're talking about, you know, all day, literally, you know, 10 hours to get this game done. If you move to seven-inning games as a means to try and play these games, give people some kind of a product, I've been on board with the idea of seven-inning games for years. And to do it now when you really need to do a compressed season and try and get as many games in as possible, I love that idea. I don't understand what the pushback is other than, no, that's not right. Baseball's 9 innings. Well, says who? Why? Why does it have to be 9 innings?
Well, says history.
I mean, I'm all for the game moving faster.
Yeah.
I'm all for the game moving faster.
And by the way, seven inning games
are what it takes. I mean, what do you think of seven inning games? You know what I say to that? I don't know. I've never seen one at the major league level. Maybe I love them. Maybe it's great. Maybe it's something we should take a look at.
Yeah. Hey, like, how about give me 10 in a row? Yeah, why not try 10 in a row in spring training next year just to get a feel for what they feel like? And not just one, but get a string of them together. At least you're not doing it in a regular season.
Yeah, you know? And it doesn't do anything for pace of play, but length of game, absolutely.
Yeah. You don't want a four-hour game.
No.
You want your three and a half. You want your 2.5 hour baseball game, 7-inning games. There you go.
That's hockey, two and a half. Hockey's 2.5
240.
There you go.
Yeah, right around there.
Football's around three, somewhere in there. 245. Let's go.
Chris Sale has something on the pass and report, in fact, these details, the proposal, and staying put in a hotel.
I don't know. I think that's going to be a case-by-case, kind of issue. I think, to answer your question, I think it's going to be tough. I don't know if I could look at my kids just through a screen for 4 or 5 months. Same thing goes with my wife, just not being able to be around. That's a long time. People have done it in harsh scenarios, I guess, but I think that, I think there's a lot of figuring out to do. I think there's a right way to do this. And I'm confident that Major League Baseball, the Players Association, all the owners, all the teams, players, I think that we're going to be able to find a way to come together and iron this stuff out and figure out a way that's safe and a way that's going to please the masses. And whatever that is, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not the one that has to figure all that out. But I think, we have all the right people in the right spot to figure out the best way to do this. And, I'm as interested as anybody to see how all this shakes out.
That's Chris Sale saying, nah, we're not going to stay in the hotel. That's never going to work. That's not going to work. But we'll case figure it case. Out, which yeah. is we'll agree to it, and then we'll just leave the hotel. That's what exactly. it is. That's how they're going to do it, because Chris Sale, who told you, for the greater good, we got to get back to work, despite him having no work on his schedule.
Right. You know what they're going to have to do? They're so used to, traveling on the road and eating together and doing that stuff and hitting bars. They're going to have to, we're going to have to attempt to secure a sports bar. We'll have it fumigated. We'll keep people out of it. And this way, the players could have a release to go there one day a week. They could play video games. We've cleaned all those machines. We have a select menu they could order from. You could have wine or beer. And just keep everything condensed, but give them some sort of normalcy. I'm sure they'll be right in on that.
I would imagine Chris Sale is going to be given the option as a player who's done for the year. Do you want to come for 4.5 months or you want to stay home?
Stay home.
You're definitely going to be allowed to stay home. You think he's going to pick voluntarily for the greater good to be there with his teammates? No.
No.
He's going to be sitting at home going, I'm glad these guys are playing because now I'm getting my $30 million. That's what he's going to be doing.
That's an easy one.
Of course it is. I wouldn't even blame him. Why would you go if you're not playing? You got no hope of playing. Tony's in Worcester. Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
That was kind of a stunning statement by Sale. Yeah, I as we're going through this, everybody out here in this messed up situation, everybody's got these different levels of difficulty, and some people have kids in the hospital that they can't be with. And it's just these guys seem so detached and clueless as to what everybody else is going through. They're making it really hard for me.
How so? What did Chris Sale say that offends you so much?
Why are you so offended by Sale?
That he's talking about sacrifice and doing the right thing for the greater good and everything. And we all know that he's not. He's sitting in his mansion doing nothing.
Yeah, but he's part of Major League Baseball that has been briefed on what potentially could happen here, guys. We're talked about it through their union. They've been on probably emails, the back and forth, some of the league heads, some of the players that represent them. Guys, we might have to go away for 4 months if we want our $30 million. So why shouldn't he be briefed on that or talk about it?
I didn't say he shouldn't be briefed on it.
Yeah, they've been elevated and propped up forever as professional athletes.
My point now is that we're doing without them. We're doing all this without them, and I'm starting to wonder what the hell why do we adore these people? Why do we worship these guys?
Because it's sport.
I know we don't worship, literally worship. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it's just entertainment. I get that, but then they start to try to come down to the everyman level and talk about their hardships and their view of things, and it really doesn't line with anything.
Yeah, but that is a hardship when you're trained to work out and play a certain way and have a season play out a certain way.
Well, that's not this what is Chris all different Hale talked them. About. Chris Hale was talking about being away from his family. So, I listen,
yeah,
when he
through,
said greater
through
good,
a flat screen with your kids, it sucks.
I don't think Chris Hale was talking about the greater good of humanity here. I think he was saying for the sake of baseball, the greater good of baseball, to be able to have a season, you know, we've got to do it. We've got to get on board for our sport. The greater good of our sport. I did not take him to mean like the greater good here in life.
He talked about, hey, we're in a world pandemic here. People, wake up. We need to adapt. He said that. He flat out said that. It's a world pandemic. We need to look at things differently. But we also need to function and get back to playing a sport here because that's our job.
I understand, you know, the caller and the frustration there because everything gets magnified right now. You see some people who are really, really struggling or some people who are really, really putting themselves out there. And then anyone else that talks about it, you think, oh, he doesn't have it that bad. And it does kind of – it conjures up the notion that why should – anyone jump through all these hoops, whether it's
to accommodate
whether it's
them.
Baseball yeah. or basketball or hockey, not only to accommodate them, but to even accommodate themselves. Like in the overall scheme of things, is it important? No. And that's what all gets put into like, you know, stark relief right now. Okay, what's truly important? But I think for the most part, sports fans want sports back, and these guys want to
divert
play.
You.
And
if they it have gets the, you. If, yeah.
If they have the ability to do it without doing anything to disrupt, you know, an overall, like you said, you know, the well-being of the public, and they're not going to put themselves or anyone else in danger when they do it, I'm not going to begrudge anybody for trying to get back to work right now. But I understand how it can be frustrating to hear anyone talk about, like, oh, how difficult it's going to be, where your difficulties aren't all that bad. What sucks is the only other option is to just say, okay, just cancel. We're not going to play at all this year. And to a lot of guys, to the players and to the owners and to all the people who make their livings around the team, not to mention the fans who just want it, that's not a viable option. Until your hand is absolutely forced on that, I think most people, whether they're with the team or just a fan of the team, would like to see these teams and these leagues try and do something so that they can have some kind of a season.
Well, we went after Chris Sale pretty hard last week and the Red Sox. I would say the Red Sox and Sale to a lesser degree on his choice of having an elective surgery during this time. Chris Sale was asked about that today, and he had an answer on it. You'll hear it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.